You will try every trick under the sun to get you to turn yourself in peacefully, or seduce you, or outright blow off your legs to keep you from running again. No strangers, ever, at all. Everyone you meet is the enemy, including any other gladiators or mercs that you think are there to help. You have no friends. But you are in the forest because the priest's wrong. If he looks like me, you walk away. He slapped the steering wheel lightly. What would you do if you ran into someone like me in the store? With a sigh, I stared out the window. Walk away. What about some injured kid or woman in the street? That's different. I know how wrong. Walk away. But that's not right if I can. Wrong, he said more loudly. No strangers. You're not safely tucked away in the forest. Or at school anymore, Alessandra. You're about to enter the real world, and it's ugly. It will eat you alive if you let it. Sisa means business. I listened. I hated to be schooled like this, and I was pretty certain if I saw an injured child, I'd stop no matter what the consequences. Which is why I'm here and not in my bed tonight. Ugh. I had real issues, and no part of me was able to fathom the idea of people chasing me. Rule 2. If someone asks you your name, it's Lisa, he continued. How can someone ask me my name if I'm not allowed to talk to anyone? Don't get smart. Gods know I hate smart women. I stared at him. What do you mean you hate smart women? Different story. No strangers, and you answer to Lisa. Rule 3. No temples, police stations, or hotspots, or anywhere else where people might be looking for you. The police? I echoed. I'm not a criminal. Who do they think you are? An oracle. I didn't answer, though, because I didn't know who he thought I was. That's what I thought. Rule 4. Don't lie to me. Don't deceive me. Don't betray me, he growled. I have a real issue with that. You have a lot of issues, I mumbled. Yeah, keep that in mind. Unpredictable mercenaries make for interesting allies. You think they're following us? I twisted to look out the back window of the car. I know they will be if they figure out which direction we're headed. We're going underground. It's my world, not yours, which means Rule 5. Don't blow this for me. It takes years and money to get a good place in the criminal underworld. I'm doing you a favor by taking you in. Don't ruin my life. Criminal underworld? He wasn't really giving me warm fuzzies about our future. So we can't ever go back to the forest? No. What are your rules? No strangers. My name is Lisa. No cops. Don't lie to you, and no blowing your reputation with your criminal friends. Exactly. The glow of light pollution hovering over D.C. brightened the horizon. We were getting closer to where I was born. Closer to Heracles' location. If someone was taken prisoner, how do you find them? Depends on who has them. You talking a criminal, or someone grabbed by the secret police? I don't really know. If you know someone who got grabbed by the secret police, there's no finding them, he said. There has to be a way, Nico chuckled. Look at you, all wide-eyed and innocent. Stop it. I am so tired of people treating me like I'm an idiot. You are an idiot if you think Sisa will give up anyone without a good reason, he replied. They're run by a man who doesn't know the meaning of boundaries, and who answers only to the god's representative on Earth. The laws shift around what he does, and no one is going to mess with him or his people, so long as they're under the protection of the supreme priest who advises the world leaders, among others, as to what the gods and goddesses expect of their elite, sleazy, ass-kicking politician underlings. I listened. The priests had taught me about the supreme priest and his connection to other high-level politicians. He was one of the most powerful men in the world, according to the priests, who hadn't liked him one bit because he and the Supreme Magistrate stood between the people and free will. The Supreme Magistrate controlled the military and was responsible for securing the borders as well as enforcing international policy and quelling civil unrest. The Supreme Priest had its own domestic security arm and was more feared than the military. The security force managing the police state had many names: secret police, divine police, and other slang names Heracles had told me that offended the priests when I repeated them. Their official title, though, was SISA, the Sacred Independent Security Apparatus of Our Heavenly Fathers and Mothers, whose members were colloquially known as SACs, according to Heracles, or SISANs, according to the priests. They were said to be charged by the gods with managing internal affairs of the human race related to matters of law, morality, and religion. The answer to no nation-state but to the Supreme Priest. I didn't have any idea who ran the SISA. He wasn't of interest to the priests, or I'd have been taught his name. The world was sounding more dangerous by the minute, and I didn't like it. The priests claimed that the SISA would torture me if they found me was sounding more likely given the grim words of Nico. But there had to be a way to find Heracles. I couldn't think of him as being completely lost, or worse, at the hands of someone Nico said worked outside the laws. The real world outside the forest, however, was completely new to me. Red signs warning of an enforced curfew and mandatory checkpoint ahead began to appear along the highway. 2 miles from the checkpoint, Nico pulled off the highway onto an exit leading into a quiet town near the forest. "Where are we going?" I asked. "You have a biotag?" "I'm not sure what that is." "Then we aren't going through a checkpoint where we can get thrown in jail for not having one now, are we?" I rolled my eyes. He was moody at best tonight, probably tired like I was. He drove through quiet neighborhoods before pulling into a long driveway leading to a sagging, double-wide trailer surrounded by a fence topped by barbed wire. Huge dogs barked at our approach, and a man with a large-caliber rifle sauntered out of an outhouse-sized guard shack beside the road. Nico stopped at the rolling gate, and I looked from a scene out of a horror movie back to him. "Really?" I asked. "Shut up. These people don't like strangers or fugitives, and you're both." I sank into silence. He rolled down his window and shook the hand of the man outside. "Hey, Mike. Need some work done." "You got money this time?" the man named Mike asked and leaned down, peering at me. "Yep, quite a bit." "Who's this?"
"No one. New girl toy."
"They're getting prettier and younger." Mike seemed to find that funny and laughed. He stood. "I'll tell Mama you're here."
"Thanks, Mike."
Nico left his window down and waited for the gate to roll open before he began driving again.
"Your mother lives here?" I asked.
"No," he snorted. "Mama is the head of the criminal underground. No one knows her real name. They have to tell her any time anyone enters her compounds. If she doesn't like you, she'll order you killed on the spot," he answered. "Stay close and keep quiet. We'll get you a biotag and be on our way." He pulled around back. An area populated by more men with guns, drinking beer kept cold in a kiddie pool filled with ice. I looked at him skeptically. "Don't judge these people or me," he grumbled. "Your damn priest died before paying me what they owed. If you're worth half what I think you are, you're the one on the most wanted posters, so don't tempt me. This is coming out of my pocket, and those rednecks out there might just save your life." I said nothing. I was too tired for my temper to flare. "Come on." He climbed out of the car. I exited more slowly, not at all convinced I wanted to leave the car with the rough men in the backyard. I leaned into the back to grab my knife from my pack and placed it at the small of my back, just in case, then trailed Nico. He was weaving through the thugs and criminals, greeting those he knew and smiling like he belonged, which he probably did. I eyed everyone I passed, my nose wrinkling at the stench of beer, marijuana, gun oil, and body odor. These were not the kind of people Heracles or the priests would want me around. Most of them were too drunk or wasted to pay attention to us, and others jostled into me or spilled beer on me without apologizing. I went with Nico into the house and almost gagged at the cigarette smoke fogging up the air. I sneezed, then coughed. "Knock it off," Nico said, and grabbed a fistful of my shirt, hauling me through a living room and down a narrow hallway. He released me outside a door and turned to face me. "Don't talk to anyone. Don't make eye contact. Don't leave this spot. Got it?" I grimaced, not at all happy at breathing air that felt like it was choking me. "Hey, you got it?" He pushed one shoulder against the wall. He wore an expression that warned me we weren't in a place he considered friendly. His muscular frame was tense once more, and an icky feeling slid through me. I knew nothing of this man, and Heracles would say that no one with a shred of honor would go merc. What if he was here to sell me out? "Yeah, I got it," I said, and tugged free. "Just be quick." Nico knocked on the door beside us and opened it without waiting for someone to answer. He walked in and grinned widely at whoever was inside. The door closed behind him. I lingered for all of 10 seconds before deciding I really didn't want to be around criminals and had no reason to trust a man who said he was going to sell me if the priests didn't pay him, which he claimed they hadn't. The barrage of my senses here made my skin crawl. I returned the way we had come and stepped out onto the back porch, waving away the last of the smoke. The stench here was muted compared to the inside of the trailer. I gazed around briefly before deciding I'd rather take my chances alone than stay here. I wove back through the armed drunks and druggies towards the car and paused at the end of the sidewalk before the driveway. A figure in a hood and cloak stood leaning against the driver's side of the car. He didn't seem to be armed, and he made no move towards me. Unable to make out facial features or anything about the person, I hesitated to confront someone in this place where everyone was armed. But I did move a little closer and peered at him. "That's, our car," I said awkwardly. No response. No movement. I felt him watching me. "Hey! What'd I tell you?" Nico belted for the direction of the house. "Great," I rolled my eyes and turned. "I couldn't breathe in there. Get your ass back here." "Are you gonna let this guy steal your car?" I pointed over my shoulder and then turned. The hooded figure was gone. "The smoke is getting to you. Hurry up so we can leave." The screen door slammed closed behind Nico. I walked around the car and searched the night visually for the figure before finally doing what Heracles told me no one ever does. I looked up. The hooded figure had scaled the tree behind the gravel parking area and was clinging to it. "Just, don't steal our car," I said, and then turned away to obey Nico before he yelled at me again. "I mean the car. It's already been stolen once tonight." This time I covered my nose and mouth with my t-shirt when I entered the disgusting lair of Nico's criminal friends. He waited for me in the hallway. "Knock it off, Lisa," he grumbled and yanked my shirt off my nose. "This place is disgusting," I complained. Nico got into my space until I took a step back. "You may not like these people, but they're gonna help us. So stop acting like a child and pretend to be grateful they aren't asking questions," he snapped quietly enough for only me to hear. I felt bad after that. He was right. I didn't want to be here. But if they could help me get into D.C. where I could find Heracles... "Sorry," I murmured. "Good. Now go." He pushed me towards the door cracked halfway open. I entered with some trepidation, not certain what I'd find. It resembled what I imagined a criminal's hangout looked like, only with more guns and beer. The guy working at a makeshift desk topped with bundles of money and small packages of drugs was close to my age. He waved me over,
Several more men were in another corner, probably guards by their beefy statures. Two women were sorting pills on another table. I sat before the kid at the table.
"How do you not have a biotag?"
he asked, his direct gaze showing no sign of intoxication, despite the beer bottles lining one side of his desk.
"Stop it, Marty," Nico replied. "It's easier to reprogram an existing tag than insert a new one,"
Marty said in irritation.
"Yep, I know. New one is twice as expensive, too."
Nico nudged me. I said nothing. Maybe I should have been grateful, but I wasn't feeling it. The hairs on the back of my neck were on end, and my instincts were restless. Marty snatched my wrist and began waving a wand-like device lined with lights over one forearm, then the other.
"No tag," he said.
"You know where I have to go to get these?" he asked me, clearly blaming me for whatever criminal act he had to perform.
"No," I replied.
"Corpse. I have to dig them out of dead people." I pulled my hand back, grossed out.
"Nico, keep her still."
Nico gripped my wrist and pinned it to the table with strength I wasn't able to shake. I watched Marty lift a second device resembling a handgun and read something on the small screen on one side of it.
"Your name is now Holly. Holly Rodriguez. And you're supposed to be Mexican."
Marty eyed me critically.
"You know Spanish? Because this says it's your only language." "Who cares?"
Nico replied.
"There are white Mexicans somewhere. Shoot her up, we're in a rush."
Marty positioned the gun in the center underside of my forearm and pulled the trigger.
"Ow!"
I muttered at the sharp sting.
"Congrats, you now have a biotag," Marty said and lowered the gun.
I raised my forearm. A drop of blood hovered over a dark square microchip planted just beneath the surface of my skin. The idea it had been in some other woman's body, and she was dead, weirded me out.
"You want me to cut off that rope?"
Marty asked, tapping the red cord around my wrist.
"Nope, just the biotag," Nico replied.
He pulled a wad of cash out of a cargo pocket and plunked it down on the desk.
"As agreed."
Marty counted it, then added it to one of the stacks on his desk.
"Pleasure as always. Good luck, Holly."
I stood and moved towards the door, holding my forearm. The pain was gone, but I was still disgusted by the biotag. I turned to wait for Nico and saw him slide money from one of Marty's stacks into his pockets. He had distracted Marty by showing him a knife. I left, not wanting to be around if the thugs in the corner caught on and shot Nico. Returning to the car, I peered again into the tree branches without seeing the figure I had spotted earlier. I didn't really believe in magical creatures the way the priests and others did. Heracles was very pragmatic, not at all into the supernatural outside of the gods, and I had adopted his realistic view of our world. Sprites and monsters didn't exist, even if the myths claimed otherwise. Except the creature from the lake. I wasn't afraid of whatever it had been by our car, not like I had been of the grotesque. Now that was worth worrying about. But a man in a hood hanging out in such a place? No comparison.
"Come on, Holly."
Nico strode by me to the car and opened the driver's side door, sliding into it. Eager to be out of there, I hurried around to the passenger side. "Do they know you stole their money?"
"Quiet, kid."
He turned the car around and headed back down the driveway. The gate rolled open, and Mike, the guard, waved us through. 10 minutes later, we were driving down the highway toward D.C. again. Traffic slowed at the checkpoint, and Nico released a sigh as we were waved through, rather than stopped by men dressed in all in black, wearing masks and carrying weapons.
"That's it?" I asked. "They don't usually wave you through, and my luck has been bad for a while,"
Nico replied. "If you're a criminal, wouldn't they be more interested in you than someone without a chip?" I asked.
"I have my ways of avoiding detection."
I had a feeling they were just as illegal as everything else he did. Too tired and interested in D.C. to speak,
I focused on the buildings we were approaching. Signs and banners telling citizens to report terrorists spouting anti-gods and anti-government activity and beliefs to the CSER were everywhere. Squeezed between parking meters, scrawled over fast food restaurant ads, and plastered on the sides of buildings. Graffiti was everywhere, too, and I noticed a theme among the colorful tags as we passed. They all started with Mama Says. Don't trust the government. Destroy the CISA. Go home, gods. Bring back the old ways. Mama is popular, I said. She's outfoxed CISA for 10 years. She must be really smart. Probably. No one's ever met her. I sometimes think she's a figurehead that doesn't exist. Even us criminals want to know we have someone to take care of us, I suppose. Why are you a merc? I asked. Doesn't being a gladiator pay enough? He laughed. You know nothing about the real world, kid. I don't know any gladiator who isn't involved in the Merc Guild or some other criminal enterprise. I had no idea, I said softly, somewhat disappointed to learn the fighters we watched on Wednesday nights on the Gladiator Guild channel were criminals. What made you choose that instead of becoming a normal citizen? Nico gave me a weird look. You mean a slave to the gods and their human underlings? Why would I want that? If you don't want to live a life of fear, you end up like me on the streets and make a living where you can. I frowned. Normal people are afraid to speak their minds, to live their lives the way they want, to follow their dreams. They're oppressed, Alessandra, by the gods, by CISA, by the Supreme Magistrate. People disappear every day and are never heard from again. No trials, no justification, no real reason. Heresy is the biggest excuse given, and there's no one to tell that the CISA can't do what they're doing. And that mess is ideal compared to what's been going on outside the walls since the Holy Wars erupted 5 years ago. Holy Wars? What wall? He eyed me. God damn the priests. It's not my job to school you in the ways of the world. You're lucky I got you a biotag, you little shit. That came out of my salary. You stole the money back. My gods, this guy had issues. Why was he helping me for free when he clearly didn't like me? We should return to the old ways, I said, hoping for a topic that didn't make him yell quite so much. Exactly. You're not as stupid as you seem sometimes. You know what the old ways are. Of course, I learned in school. A time where humans govern themselves without the influence of the gods. Life, liberty, equality, and the pursuit of happiness, I recited from class. They don't teach that shit in school. The knowledge has been lost, or would have been if not for Mama. It's what she wants, to return to the old ways. He smiled faintly. Strange. Our priests taught us the old ways are supposed to return soon. I'm liking your priests more and more. They're clearly academics out of touch with the real world, though. It's impossible for the old ways to exist alongside the gods.
Unless the gods are gone.
Puzzled, I rolled his words and those of the priests around in my head. I was beginning to understand that my world of 12 years wasn't the same as this one. The idea the old ways were almost lost, when I'd lived every day reciting life, liberty, equality, and the pursuit of happiness, was odd. If the priests were right, if they hadn't been messing with me about being the oracle, I was beginning to see why they wanted me hidden until the old oracle died. The old ways could emerge only after she was gone.
But why not get rid of me instead of imprisoning me?
Not a lot made sense to me yet. I had much to learn about the real world, and a ton more to think about. Nico stayed off the bigger streets through D.C. and angled us to the side of the city closer to Maryland, finally stopping in a run-down section of town that shouldn't have surprised me but did. The buildings were blocky, with barred windows, and vehicles that appeared to be abandoned lined one side of the street. The thump of bass came from a house squeezed between block apartment buildings. Masked CISA police patrolled the neighborhoods on foot. CISA's everywhere inside the wall, and the military everywhere outside it. Nico glared at the police. You prefer it otherwise? The military is secular and has a justice system. They answer to the people and don't make people disappear for saying the gods are nuts. We weren't completely different. Aside from Artemis and Lelantos, I was raised to be able to identify the other gods and titans, but not to worship them. He parked out front. We got out and went to the door. There was no mistaking the round chinks in the concrete walls on either side of the door for anything but bullet holes. Thus far, I wasn't impressed by the outside world or those who inhabited it. Are we visiting more of your friends? I asked. No, this is one of my safe houses. He unlocked the door and walked in. I trailed. He locked the door behind us and went to the stairs on the far side of a lobby with scuffed floors and sagging ceilings. He led me to an apartment on the second floor. It was clean, neat, and practically decorated. Grateful not to be stuck in a place like the trailer, I put my backpack on the floor. Bathroom through there? There's only one, so lock the damn door if you're in there, he said grouchily and pointed. He walked into his bedroom and flipped on the lights. The apartment had a small kitchen and dining area, along with a balcony overlooking the street behind where we parked. The balcony doors, however, were barred, preventing anyone from using the outside space. Hey, Nico? I dropped the curtain and moved towards the couch, peeking into the cracked bedroom door. He was on the phone, his back to me. My instincts stirred once more, and I had the same urge I did at his redneck friend's, to leave him sooner rather than later, even if I had nowhere else to go. Chapter 6 Tomorrow I'll figure it out. I was too beat to take a shower and slung myself down on the couch. I had spent 2 nights a week sleeping on the ground. The lumpy couch was good enough for me. As busy as my mind was, I was soon asleep. Arguing voices pulled me out of a deep slumber. I struggled to rouse my resistant body, lost the battle, then forced myself into a sit. I blinked rapidly and sighed. The noises were coming from Nico's room, probably from the television, except instincts. The ones that made me worry about bears during fall and great cats during wildfire season. I rolled off the couch and orientated myself quickly before rising and going to the door to his bedroom cracked open. Nico? I called. Silence. I pushed the door open to see him on the floor, bare-chested in sweatpants. The hooded figure I'd seen earlier stood over him, gun in hand. Stay where you are, hissed the person in the hood. Nico motioned towards my left and I looked. The top drawer of his dresser yawned open, and I caught the faint gleam of a gun butt. I moved towards it. If you try it, I'll shoot him, the hooded form threatened. You'd be doing the world a favor, I replied. He's kind of an asshole. Snatching the gun, I flipped off the safety and walked towards them. But I need him for now, and I do know how to use a gun. The person was still for a long moment. The tip of the gun lowered, and Nico knocked it away, snagging the hooded person's arm and shoving him into the wall. The hood fell away, and I started to smile. The figure who bested Nico was a pretty woman with cocoa skin and a tattoo on her forehead. You couldn't stay away, could you, Dozy? Nico growled and searched her roughly. I'm not here for you, you arrogant pig, came the saucy response. I switched on the lights. The tattoo was the same symbol on the Temple of Artemis, a bow. The woman wore a robe of gray beneath the hood. Wait, did a priestess just kick your ass? I asked Nico. I put the gun on the dresser. I was sleeping, he retorted. No one knows where this place is. He released the woman,
angered and tense, and stepped back. She probably followed us from Marty's, I guessed. I was in the trunk. Dozy turned to face Nico. With a glance at me, her cool gaze fell to him, and her chin went up a notch in what I knew from experience was defiance. Not the first time I was relegated to a cold, dark place at Nico's hands.
I had nothing to do with that, he replied.
Except abandoning me.
That was 10 years ago, Dozy, and you walked away.
You can't walk away from someone if he's already gone.
You must be the smart woman he hates, I said with an uncomfortable laugh, uncertain how else to react to their violent reactions to one another. The two of them glared at each other. Nico's jaw was ticking, and he appeared ready to pounce. Dozy's unfaltering gaze was cold. The tension between them was so thick, my cheeks grew warm. Whatever their history was, I was guessing it was pretty personal.
I'm just gonna go back to my couch, I murmured and stepped back. Dozy started towards me and Nico grabbed her.
I'm here to protect you from him. Nico will sell. Holly knows you're full of shit.
He had her arms and she pushed at him.
I should put a bullet in you and leave you for your goddess to take care of.
Oh, wait, the gods haven't helped us in 5 years. They abandoned us the way you did me 10 years ago.
It was 12 years, idiot.
My brow furrowed. Before I could pursue, Nico reached over to grab the priestess's weapon.
Wait, I cried. You can't just kill a priestess in your apartment.
Oh, I can. He can't hurt me, Dozy said calmly. And since I know that...
Holly, I came to give you a message about your birthright.
Shut up, Dozy.
Nico made a show of putting the gun to her head.
You have no idea what I've become.
Wait, wait, wait! I scrambled forward and pushed Nico to keep him from hurting her. He pushed me back. I don't know who I am or what I'm supposed to do. If she does, then...
I grunted and shoved him far enough away to squeeze between them.
Then I need to know. We need to know.
With me in the way, Nico lowered his gun arm without releasing his grip on Dozy.
He's already sold you out twice by now, Dozy said, smushed between me and the wall.
Stop stirring the pot, I snapped. Just think about this for a minute. Both of you. You both want something from me, and if you're fighting, I'm walking out that door without either of you.
I wouldn't let you. Dozy responded. Not happening, Nico said at the same time.
Oh, good. You're agreeing with each other.
Nico, go over there. Now, I ordered him.
He gave me a look that said he wished he'd left me with Marty, but reluctantly moved to the other side of the bedroom, near the door. I stepped away from Dozy.
Glad to see someone here has sense. Dozy straightened out her clothing.
For the record, Holly, he wouldn't have hurt me. He's always talked big, acted small when it came to me.
In any case, I shouted over Nico's objection. Why are you here? I asked Dozy.
She relaxed some, her focus shifting to me instead of the man she had a history with.
I'd like a glass of water.
Oh, let's. We must be civilized.
Nico strode angrily into the living room, the muscles of his thick frame rippling beneath the colorful tattoos covering his back, shoulders, and chest. I shook my head and followed, as did Dozy. When I reached my couch and sat down, I realized they were both staring at me.
What?
I asked, unsettled by Nico's fiery look and the odd expression on Dozy's face.
You aren't what I expected,
Dozy replied first. I sighed and held my face in my hands. Irritated at the latest person who wanted to belittle or insult me, I rose and lifted my pack.
I'm out. You people have issues I can't fix.
Dozy laughed softly.
You took that wrong. I meant it as a compliment. I was expecting a scared, silly teen with no sense.
You can use a gun and hold your own with Nico.
That's impressive.
I lowered the pack, my ruffled feathers smoothing out.
Heracles was rumored to be with you.
He taught you to have a backbone?
I glanced at Nico, who was listening intently. Uncertain what to think of Dozy or how she knew Heracles, I hesitated to respond. Dozy sat on the chair near the kitchen.
Water, Nico, she snapped. How did you get through the checkpoint so easily?
They waved us through, I said with a shrug.
That doesn't just happen. I'm betting Nico's made arrangements.
He appeared ready to refute her, but whirled and went to the sink. He wasn't kicking her out or trying to kill her anymore, which made me think she was right. As badass as he acted, he wasn't going to hurt the woman he had feelings for at one point.
Heracles, Dozy prodded. Why is he not with you?
He was captured, I said. We're here to rescue him.
We're what? Nico demanded.
Rescue?
Dozy's eyes widened.
If he was taken, it was by Sisa. There's no way for you to get to him.
I don't believe that. Nico brought her a glass of water. This time, the look they exchanged was one of uneasiness.
Why is a priestess looking for me? I asked her.
High priestess, Nico said, using air quotes in mockery. What do the gods want with some initiate?
Not your concern, Nico, she replied.
But you came to find me, right? I asked.
Yes.
And tell me what?
I came to find and protect you from people like Nico, Dozy admitted. People who might figure out who you really are.
Nico was studying me the way he had in the forest when we first met.
So do you know what's supposed to happen next? I asked.
Pardon?
Where I'm supposed to go, what I'm supposed to do. The priests at the orphanage seem to think I should go somewhere.
You were raised by priests, Dozy repeated, surprised.
That's not how this was supposed to happen.
Okay, first, what is this? Nico asked and motioned to me.
Holly is of... Oh my gods, my name's not Holly, I muttered. It's Lisa.
Nico cut me off. And shut up. Dozy appeared taken aback for a moment before she met my gaze.
Do you know what you are? She asked uncertainly.
Allegedly what I am? I was told yesterday, I replied. Nico thinks I'm an initiate.
So Heracles isn't with you. You were raised by priests, and you don't know how to be what you really are, Dozy summarized.
Yes, I said, and I want to rescue Heracles. Agitated, she rose and paced.
After hearing all this, I think rescuing him will be the easiest thing you do.
Nico and I exchanged a look. We didn't know enough to share her alarm.
Okay. Dozy drew a deep breath and approached me.
First off, don't take off the red cord. If it is what I think it might be, it'll keep people from tracking you. Second, she trailed off at a loss for words. Blinking rapidly, she shook her head.
I can't even begin to imagine a second. Just stay underground for a while.
Nico,
if you betray her to you-know-who, I will gut you.
It was a wonder either of them were alive, given how often they threatened each other in the short span we were together.
Hard to protect what you don't know you have, he pointed out.
I'm an oracle, I said. Whether or not I should have, I didn't care at the moment. I wanted to see what they did when I said it, to gauge how bad things really were.
Dozy gaped. Don't ever tell anyone that, she yelled when she'd recovered.
Ever.
A what?
You mean the oracle.
Nico was staring at me.
And those damn priests were going to pay me the rate for a typical teen runaway?
Now I'm glad I cut them down before the security forces moved in.
I gasped. This is what I'm talking about, Dozy pointed at him.
This is why you're better off with me, Holly.
Lisa.
Whatever your name is.
My ears were ringing from Nico's confession.
You do not walk into...
The two of them began shouting at one another again.
and all I could think about was the blood I'd seen on Nico's hands. It hadn't belonged to the enemies. It had belonged to the priests he let me think had abandoned me.
"How could you do that?" I shouted above them and pushed at Nico. "How could you kill them?"
I reached for his weapon, emotion boiling despite my exhaustion. Dozy stepped back, and Nico grabbed my arms, gaze dropping from her to me. He wrestled with me, finally wrapping both arms around me and shoving me face first into a wall. I struggled in a frenzy until it was clear I wasn't going to best him this way. I panted and went limp, my mind racing.
"Look, kid, it was..." "Don't call me kid!" I struggled to pull away, but he kept me in place. "You're a murderer!"
"It was an act of mercy."
"Bullshit!"
"No, it was," Dozy seconded. "The secret police would have done unspeakable things to them. Since the CISA chief Adonis took over, it's been nonstop carnage and depression. They're aggressive and harsh. If you've got something to hide, suicide is a better option. It's not something that's easy to explain. Except that Nico did them a favor, Holly."
"My name's not Holly."
I blinked. My eyes were blurred by tears. A tremor of emotion swirled through me. I could imagine no situation under Zeus where the priests committed suicide. Was the world outside my forest that bad? Why had they kept so much from me? Did I not need this type of knowledge in order to help them with their plan to bring back the old ways?
"You okay?"
Dozy's voice had softened.
"No,"
I replied. "They were my friends. Holly, I know this is hard, but trust me. They are better off in Thanatos' hands than Cease's. You learned about Thanatos, the god of death, didn't you? About his realm?" I calmed some, recalling that good people like the priests weren't really gone. They lived on in a different realm, one ruled by Thanatos.
"Yes. Then you know death is simply a gateway into a much better place."
It was easier to let myself believe her, trust her, than to sort through emotions I wasn't prepared to feel. The priest had never been close to me like Heracles was. I wanted to believe them better off, the way they taught us in school. But if Heracles followed them into the underworld of Thanatos, I would do whatever I had to out of revenge. Heracles was my heart, my life, the only thing keeping me from acknowledging the desolation stemming from understanding that the world I knew was now completely gone. I wasn't ready for that.
"Don't wuss out now, kid," Nico said in a quieter voice. "You're tough. Stay tough. I don't kill unless I have to, but all of us knew what was coming. I did it quick."
"I do agree with him there," Dozy said. "Cease will do anything to find you."
"Let me go."
I tugged at Nico's grip. He did so. I left the wall and sank onto the couch, trying to rein in the emotions I couldn't quite categorize. Heracles would tell me they were right, that I needed to stay focused, not emotional, that the priests were in the part of the underworld saved for the most righteous. Yet the image in my head of Father Ellis falling beneath Nico's knives? I wasn't happy at the orphanage. But the priest didn't deserve to die. What was worse, this all happened because I disobeyed them and went to the lake. Father Christopoulos was right. In 10 minutes, I had undone years' worth of their work and killed no less than 4 priests. What was I that pious men committed suicide rather than reveal my identity and location? That Cisa came for me. My stomach hurt from emotion I didn't know how to process, and I rested back against the couch, struggling to recall something Heracles had told me that might help me think straight about all of this. "You swear they felt no pain?" I asked Nico.
I swear it. It didn't really help. In fact, I had the urge to scream and attack him and demand to know why he hadn't told me before. I was sliding to Dozy's side of the court and starting to hate Nico. "Why did you bring her to D.C.?" Dozy asked Nico. "It's the worst place to be." "Or the best, right under the nose of, no, it's the worst." "You're up to something. I know it." Nico fell silent. "You need to get her out of here, now." "No," I said, rousing myself from the deep thoughts. "I'm not leaving without Heracles." "Don't be stupid," Nico replied. "If you think I'm stupid, then fine, I am. But I'm not leaving without Heracles. You already killed everyone else who matters to me." They weren't taking me seriously. Dozy shook her head, and Nico rolled his eyes. Fury flooded me. "What happens if I take this off?" I asked, tugging at the red cord. "Oh, that's right. They come and get me and torture anyone found with me. We wouldn't want that to happen, would we?" I maneuvered it up my hand to my palm. "No," Dozy said, "just leave it on." I paused and waited. "Look, I might be able to find out where Heracles is by pulling some strings, but I can't guarantee anything." "Not even that," she said quickly. "Even if she does, I'm not breaking into a CISA prison," Nico said stubbornly. "This seems like the fastest way to find Heracles." "By being taken prisoner with him," I mused, lifting my hand so they could see the red cord. "Nico will definitely never get paid. And I'll enjoy watching him at the hands of CISA." "I don't know what happens to you, Dozy." He eyed me at the mention of money. "I've got friends," Dozy said. "I'd be fine. Nico wouldn't be." "If nothing else, my buy tag is worth money, isn't it?" I asked Nico. "If I die in the attempt, you can dig it out of my arm and sell it to Marty, then steal more of his money." Dozy shot Nico a knowing look, and Nico shrugged. "You do make a good point." "You can't be serious. Even you aren't that stupid, Nico," Dozy said. "So you don't want me to do it?" "Looks like I'm in, kid." I snorted, not at all certain if I'd really won, or if he was so determined to spite Dozy he'd get us both killed. "I'll do what I can," Dozy said, gaze on me. "Nico, make up your mind. You gonna keep her safe, or do I need reinforcements to take her away from you? I don't need to remind you of how few men your people have in D.C. I waited. The two went into stare-down mode again. Finally, Nico shifted. "Fine, I'll take her to find this friend and dump her off at the front gates or wherever," he said finally. "I'm not going to risk my neck for her." "No surprise," Dozy muttered. "Good enough for me. I'll be back in the morning with any information I can find out about Heracles." She strode to the door. "Hey, you haven't answered my emails," Nico called as she opened the door. "How's Junior?" "He's not Junior. He's nothing like you." "You guys have a kid?" I asked, astonished. "My gods, that poor little guy." This earned me 2 glares. "It's why I'm the only person immune to Nico's knives and guns." "We'll talk about it later." Dozy left and slammed the door behind me. The look Nico gave me made me think I should sleep with one of his guns, but I was just as upset and glared back. He spun on his heel and stormed into his bedroom, slamming the door. "That poor kid." Although I'd never experienced it firsthand, I imagined this was what it was like if my parents were fighting. Except my parents didn't go around mercy-killing priests. I locked the front door and settled down on the couch again, a little out of place, and worried about what was going on that no one wanted to tell me. At least I might soon know where Heracles was. If I were in trouble, he would come for me. It was only fair I did the same.
Father Ellis is dead.
I wanted to hate Nico, but...
Well, I was horrified to admit I was a little too angry with the priests for lying to me my entire life to feel complete compassion for them. I was too confused to figure out what I felt. None of this seemed real. I wanted to wake up at home in my bed at the orphanage and trek into the woods with Heracles for another survival lesson.
Chapter 7. Hateful to me as the gates of Hades is that man who hides one thing in his heart and speaks another. Homer. The next morning, I stood across the street from the thick metal gates of CISA headquarters located in downtown D.C. Maybe it was stupid of me, but I hadn't really considered it might be hard to get to Heracles until I saw those tall, thick gates guarded by half a dozen men on the street side. Heracles had taught me to be self-sufficient in every scenario I could think of to the point I thought myself somewhat invincible. But those gates...
There's no way I can sneak in.
I had to, though. I'd rather be trapped with Heracles in prison than stuck alone in an insane world I didn't understand. The morning crowd, consisting of tour groups and business people, walked past the wall, seemingly oblivious to the compound. I couldn't look away. At least not until one of the masked guards looked my way twice. The masks kind of freaked me out. They covered their entire faces and heads. Each guard was identified by a patch with a number on it, rather than names and faces. I left the sidewalk and went into the cafe behind me. With the money I'd pilfered from Nico, I bought a Greek coffee and sat near the window. The streets and sidewalks were churning with rush hour activity. Part of me was thrilled to realize I was a part of this world, at least on this surface. Buying coffee, smiling at people whose paths I crossed. No one knew I was different. I kind of liked that. The gates across the street opened once to reveal the second set, these much smaller, and guards and tire shredders in between the two. Beyond the second gate sat a white building with marble pillars. I wasn't able to gauge how large it was in the 2 seconds the two gates were simultaneously open. Nico had claimed this building was more secure than the White House. Dozy disagreed, claiming this was an off-site and the real headquarters was located in Northern Virginia. She said this site was abandoned before a month ago and considered its reactivation a ploy of some sort. I was inclined to take her word over his out of principle, and because I liked her better than Nico. I had no idea either way. The two had still been fighting about something that didn't matter to me when I left. They argued about everything. I didn't even have to be subtle. Just walked out. Heracles would tell me to evaluate everything I could about the compound. So far, I'd figured out I wasn't going over the gates. I had no clue whether the sewer system was an option. The only thing Dozy had been able to find out was that Heracles was in the east wing, which wasn't visible from the street. Official visitors entered the gates on foot and by car. Their identifications were scanned, and they, their belongings and vehicles were searched. My eyes followed the walls down the block. I stood, grabbing my coffee to walk the perimeter and see what other gates were present. Half an hour later, I was forced to admit there was one way in and out of the compound. I returned to the cafe and sat with another coffee, toying with the red cord around my wrist. "You little shit." I looked up to see Nico at my table. He sat down without waiting for an invitation. "You all clearly had some things to work out," I replied. "When you meet that special someone who turns out not to be as interested in you as you are them, then you'll understand." "I doubt it. Heracles told me never to let any boy derail me from my goals, and I won't." It had been easy, if frustrating, to let go of the boys the nymph stole. I wasn't letting anyone near my heart, because Heracles said that's when bad things happened. You think it's a choice to fall in love, to have a kid you aren't expecting, Nico observed. Everything in life is a choice.
No, kid, it's not. He was amused. But I do hope to see the look on your face when you realize that.
Whatever. Are we going to do this? It was hard to talk to him when I wanted to explode about the priests.
Do what?
I pointed towards Sisa building. Nico looked briefly.
Let's get something straight. You're insane and want to go to the one place you should never want to be, he replied.
You know why you're here right now? Because you murdered everyone else who could help me, I shot back.
Shut up, kid. I was going to tell you. Dozy sent me down here to dissuade you. But I have a different idea.
I waited, surprised to sense he was on my side, and irked he didn't even blink when I mentioned the priests.
There's only one way into that place, he continued. We need to be invited.
What does that entail?
A mercenary bounty hunter, claiming to have the Oracle in tow, might warrant an invite.
I brightened. That's brilliant, Nico. Let's do that. He eyed me.
Does anything penetrate that thick skull of yours? Like how dangerous this is? How small the chances are they'll let you leave? What they might do to you?
Can't be worse than what you might do to me.
You have no idea how big of a favor I did those priests. They didn't even pay me.
What an asshole. Heracles will fix everything, I said, missing my